Final hour of power as we get you geared up for the 2026 season for the old Washington Commanders. Schedule officially dropped and released earlier. We've been breaking it all down for you as we've rolled throughout the course of the show. I'm eager to know. I think we're going to see, because now I'm thinking about like the uniforms, right? We got the new whites. They'll be worn at home, I believe. Then on the road, I don't know. Maybe I'm totally off with that. In the NFL, the home team normally wears the light color or the dark color. I'm tripping. Yeah. So we'll see the white uniforms on the road. We'll see the dark uniforms, the burgundy uniforms at home. And then with Monday Night Football against Cincy in Week 11, with Sunday Night Football in Philadelphia Week 8, that's when we'll see the debut of the Battle Blacks, I assume. I'm excited for it, though, man. The number one thing I continue to say when evaluating this schedule, and this is my first prediction 1.0. I'll give you a prediction tonight. I'll give you a prediction after mandatory minicamp wraps, and then I'll give you a prediction 3.0 after training camp is over. As time rolls past this offseason, this is not a daunting list of quarterbacks that you have to face. That's the first thing that stood out to me, is the lack of elite quarterbacks you got to face. It's Burrow, it's Stafford, and that's really it. It's Burrow, Stafford, and Dak Prescott, if we're being real. Like, I don't believe in Jackson Dart. I don't believe in Trevor Lawrence. I don't believe in Kyler Murray, C.J. Stroud, etc. He's ready? Let's go to Kevin Sheehan. Host of the Kevin Sheehan Show, weekdays 10 to 1 on our sister station, the Team 980. Kevin, have you combed through the schedule yet? Do you have a...
I mean, kind of. I liked what you just said. Of course, we knew who the opponents were before, but that's always something that I find interesting, and that is to kind of look to see the quarterbacks that you're going to face, and it's a good point. I mean, now, Darnold obviously played well last year, and that's a really good football team.
For sure.
And Daniel Jones played well before he got hurt, and Purdy's, you know, capable of playing well. But I'm with you on Jackson Dart. I'm with you on Kyler Murray. Who knows who the Arizona, you know, quarterback will be? Stroud, Penix, you know. I mean, to me, it's Burrow, it's Dak twice, and it is Stafford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you put
and Trevor Lawrence, I'm a bigger believer in Lawrence than I think you are.
We'll see what he's able to do in year two under Liam Cohen. I have my burgundy and gold color lenses on right now, Kevin. The schedule just came out. I'm feeling as optimistic as anybody could. The one thing I continue to say that the Commanders have at their advantage, more specifically on offense relative to the defense, no one's really familiar with they're going to run from an X's and O's standpoint. We know defensively it'll be some iteration of what we've seen from Brian Flores, but offensively with David Blough, I don't think anyone knows what to expect. I'll say this, Kevin, just to keep it real. I mean, Philly's a terrible draw in Week 1. That's a veteran defense led by a veteran defensive coordinator. You want to talk about being able to get your feet wet before you get into the meat of your schedule. Philadelphia is a heavy hitter in Week 1.
Yeah, Week 1's always a head fake, though. You know, every year Week 1 can be so misleading. Teams, you know, there's no real preseason anymore in terms of players playing, so that's kind of like an extension of the preseason. I kind of like the way they're starting. You know, if you can, you know, go on the road and catch Philly in an opener where, you know, anything seems to happen in openers and head into Dallas. Look, on paper, it's like Philly and Seattle and Philly, Dallas and Seattle.
That's horrible.
In the first three.
Yeah.
It doesn't look great. But here's one thing, Linnell, that is always important. It's always hard to predict schedules.
Yes.
The league is so dynamic. It changes so much year to year. And whatever looks, you know, daunting now might not be that way when you by the time you get there. But net rest is a huge thing when it comes to scheduling. And Warren Sharp's been tracking that for years now. And Washington had, I think, the second or third worst net rest disadvantage last year. and went 5-12. This year, they're going to have one of their better net rest advantages. And that all that means is that you calculate the number of days gained or lost when you're playing an opponent in terms of preparation. So they have a bye week in week 7, mm-hmm. and then they come back after the bye week and play Sunday night against Philadelphia. Philly plays the previous Monday night against the Cowboys. So that's a massive advantage, Washington coming off a bye week and Philly on a short week heading into their game in Washington on Sunday night, November 1st. So, and from what I can tell, they only have one disadvantage, mm-hmm. and it's when they are coming off a Monday night game against the Bengals.
Going to Arizona.
And it's a one-day difference going to Arizona. That's a little bit tricky in terms of rest, and not only that, you're going west.
Man.
But I also love the fact that
I wonder how they'll handle that one, Kevin, in terms of maybe just getting out after you win on Monday night, you just go to Arizona the next morning?
After you win on Monday night, exactly. That's the way to think about
it.
But the other two things I love mm-hmm. is the two West Coast teams that are coming east on their schedule are coming for Sunday 1 o'clock games, Seattle and the Rams.
Yep.
And we know as NFL fans and certainly as bettors that West Coast teams playing 1 o'clock Eastern starts on Sunday tend to struggle a little bit. So that's a good break that they're playing Seattle and the Rams Sunday at 1 versus, say, late afternoon or prime time.
Kevin Sheehan joining us right now as the Commanders released their schedule about an hour ago. My official prediction, my prediction 1.0, has them going 10-7. Kevin, I think the fact that this schedule is front-loaded is definitely to Washington's benefit. A lot of these elite teams that you're going to see within the first month and a half of the season, they're probably not going to get their oil flowing through the engine until about the final month and a half. So seeing San Francisco early is a benefit. Seeing Daniel Jones and the Colts early is a benefit. I look at it like this, Kevin. If you get out of the first 10 games 5-5, that stretch of at New York, home for Cincy, at Arizona, at Tennessee, home for Houston, home for Atlanta, like that's where you pick up the meat in the chunk of your wins throughout this schedule, in my opinion. And you have a chance to be a couple of games over 500 heading into that final 3 weeks.
You're the best. You're the best. You already got us in week 11.
I've already got us in week 11, 5-5.
I mean, not to sound like Doc, but Philly, week 1. September 13th, our good friend Doc Walker is that's all he's focused on, and there is an element of that in a week to week league because that's what the NFL is. I mean, it's so hard to predict, you know, the true strength of schedule in advance.
When you look at what they accomplished this offseason and now you have the schedule at your disposal, what are realistic expectations? And I know it's easy for us to, you know, think really, really highly of the group or, you know, think too lowly of them. With this schedule, with what they did this offseason, is there a realistic expectation that they should have for themselves internally here?
Well, look, last year was, you know, a year in which we know because we, you know, lived through it week to week, was an abject disaster from a player availability standpoint. When you have an elite level talent at quarterback and he barely plays for you during an NFL season and he only played in 4 complete football games last year, you're doomed.
Right.
I mean, you are doomed in the NFL. And then you add to that wide receiver 1, wide receiver 2, running back 1, D-end 1, D-end 2, corner 1. I mean, they were down all of their best players for the majority of games. So you start with that. If you don't have that level of hurt, you're going to be a better football team. If your starting quarterback plays 17 games, it's going to be a much better result than it was last year. But for me, Linnell, and I think you probably focused on this too, mm-hmm. I just need to know that the defense is going to be better. I don't think it can be worse.
No,
but
it can't.
They clearly identified the defense as a major problem, which, you know, only a blind man wouldn't be able to identify that. And they went out and basically added 6 to 7 new starters and or significant contributors, changed the coordinator, and they've got to be better on defense because you know, we you and I answer questions all the time about receiver and why didn't they do this for Jaden Daniels. Yeah. What they did is they hopefully upgraded the defense, right, which will help Jaden Daniels and the offense out a lot. How about a short field every once in a while? How about not taking the field, right, on offense, knowing if you don't score, you're going to be down another seven the next time you touch the ball? How about turnovers? How about scoring on, right, defense?
Isn't that a novel concept?
Yeah, because that defense in the second half of the season in particular was the worst I've ever seen in Washington.
Unwatchable,
the worst.
Kevin. Unwatchable, Kevin. Like, it was that stretch. Yeah. What was it, five or seven straight games where you lost by 21 or more points? I think as we get further removed from Week 18 against Philly, I think it's natural for folks to get a revisionist history about just how bad last year actually was. One more quick, like, X's and O thing for you just to start. Center was a big question spot for this group. I think we're still awaiting another veteran body to be brought in, or it's going to be Nick Allegretti versus Matt Golden in training camp. Kevin, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Quinnen Williams, Kenny Clark to start.
Yeah, it's going to be a test.
It's going to be a
I think the one thing that I've thought about, well, you and I have already talked about it. Mm-hmm. Center is going to be a big, you know, they're proving it to us that they know what they're doing. And I have heard that Allegretti versus Biotish, the locker room is fine with it. The offensive line room is fine with it. They think Allegretti is a much better communicator than perhaps Biotish. Okay. But I hope they don't look back and say, man, we had the money to overpay Tyler Linderbaum to get a great football player on our offensive line at a position of need. He got paid a lot of money, a lot more than anybody anticipated, but they had it and they could have gotten an A-plus player at a position that they desperately needed. We'll find out when they start playing the games, but you're right. I mean, right from the jump, Fangio and that defense, Dallas and the changes they've made defensively, Seattle's defense, they're going to get tested along the offensive line to start the season.
Right away, man. And I'm eager to see what it looks like, man. I think one of my issues that I had with Allegretti may be eased by just how often they're under center. I didn't think he was good snapping the ball in the gun, especially when you're talking about running as much zone read as they did and timing stuff. I think him being in the quarterback being under center more is going to help Allegretti. But, Kevin, like, just looking at this thing, like, big picture on the offensive side of the football, is it just because as we've gotten further removed from the season, like, I know where you stand on this, I think. Everyone's so worried about wide receiver and what they don't have. I think if the quarterback plays up to expectation and gives you what we got from him in 24 in terms of playing on time, playing on schedule, getting the ball out of his hands at the top of the drop, not ducking his eyes and looking at the rush, I think the issues with the receiving core last year are a little overblown, Kevin, is what I would say.
Yeah, I think the key is just the quarterback playing next year. That's the most important thing. I find it interesting. It's not really that hard when it comes to last year. You know, the quarterback started and completed 4 football games out of 17. You're doomed.
Yeah.
You just 95% of the teams in the league are doomed when that happens if your quarterback is your best player. And our quarterback is the team's best player. So I have no, you know, worries about, you know, some of the stuff that you just talked about were games in which he had Chris Moore and Robbie Chosen and receivers that had just shown up, you know, earlier in the week. I mean, it was a disaster against Seattle last year in particular. You know, they weren't even running the right routes in the game. So you gotta have your best players on the field for most of the games. And if you get that next year offensively, to your point, I'm not so concerned. I'd rather have another weapon at wide receiver because Terry's 31 years old. Right. And Terry's coming off a difficult year in which he didn't play a lot of football either. You know, last year he missed a ton of games. So I'd like to see, you know, another playmaker offensively, in the form of a Diggs or an Ayuk. if they are actually going to be good football players, right, and are ready to be good football players. But you're right. Like, as long as your best players are out there playing football, you're going to be much better than you were last year if Jaden plays 17 games. He's the least concern for me. The concern with him is make sure he's on the field healthy and can play.
And I think that'll it's just the stylistic changes that we're expecting in the offense. I can't wait. That's why, to me, man, like, I didn't make it out, Kevin, last weekend to the rookie mini camp, because I said, what the hell do I want to watch the rookies run around for? Coming up in 2 weeks, we're going to get voluntary OTAs. We're going to get a depth chart for the first time. What's the position battle that you're most intrigued by heading into the summer?
Really haven't thought about that in terms of position battles.
We're so far out.
I guess right now, who's the number two wide receiver? You know, after Terry, based on who they have on the team, is it Diami? Is it Burks? Is it, you know, Luke? You know, who is it?
Does the young pup step in? I hope Antonio Williams gets the first crack at it. I hope he gets the opportunity.
Is it Antonio Williams? We'll see. I mean, is it Coleman or Paul? You know, at guard. You know, how do they shape up? Like, I want
to see that battle to me is fascinating too. Talking about Coleman and Paul, because I think you kind of heard.
I knew it would be. This is the one you're going to talk about between now and the opener.
Because Brandon Coleman is a freak of nature, Kevin. I think last year his quasi benching. And tell me if you think I'm reading it the right way. I think it was them trying to send a message to him that, hey, guy, this is the NFL. This isn't TCU. When you're a little nicked up, you got to battle through it. Get off the trainer's table and get your hand in the dirt.
Right. Here's the thing. Depth chart, no depth chart. We're not going to know anything until September 13th. And that's just the truth of it in terms of scheme and how these players will fit into the scheme. Preseason games won't reveal anything.
Right.
You know, what they say during training camp will probably be more telling than what happens on the field, you know, in preseason games. But I'm excited about it. I can't imagine they could be that injured for 2 years in a row, which leads me to believe that they're going to be a better football team.
I hope. Fingers crossed, man. Kevin, we appreciate you. As always, my friend, we'll be tuned in to you tomorrow hearing you break it down on the Team 980.
All right, Linnell. See you, brother.
That is Kevin Sheehan. Make sure you check out the Kevin Sheehan Show weekdays 10 to 1 on our sister station, the Team 980. Man, people are already tweeting at me saying it's too early for this. If you actually look at what I put out on social media, I gave you three different predictions. I gave you 1.0. I teased when I'm going to give you 2.0. I also teased when I'm going to give you 3.0. Sorry, guys. I'm an addict. I am an addict for the. Somebody just tweeted at me saying, you're pressed. No, I'm not pressed. I'm an addict. I'm wearing the patch right now. This determines my happiness on a day-in, day-out basis through the months of August through January. So excuse me if I'm a little bit overzealous, if I'm jumping the gun a little bit. I'm talking some damn football, ladies and gentlemen. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. The official schedule is out. Phone lines are open for you on this. What are your expectations for the 26 Commanders? And then give me your record prediction for the 2026 season. That's next. As I try to pick up the pieces emotionally, I was in the break talking to our producer tonight, Miss Nadine, and I'm telling her, like, I picked us to go 10-7 in our 1.0 prediction, but I don't feel uber confident about it. It's the different phases and faces of being a DC sports fan, specifically a Washington Commanders fan. If you're just now joining us, the schedule officially released. Washington going to have 4 primetime games throughout the course of the 2026 season. Their first of which is week number 6 on the road out in San Francisco against the Niners. They'll have their bye week in week number 7. They'll take on the New York Giants on Thursday Night Football on November the 12th. So all my Scorpios out there, stand up. My birthday is November the 14th. I hope I could be somewhere near the action coming up on November the 12th. Then the very next week, off of what I'm calling a mini bye. So they have the week 7 bye, which is, you know, relatively early, right, if we're being real. But then you have this mini bye where –